The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 53. One thing that strikes you when you're out in a desert is how much sand there is in one of those things. There really is an extraordinary amount of sand, and when you stop to consider how small a single grain of sand is, well, it's really rather startling. The great desert that we were crossing is a sort of flattish plain piled up with a bunch of undulating dunes. There are no really significant hills or deep valleys, but there is, as I have mentioned, a heck of a lot of sand, and this is alternately heaped up in great piles and scooped out into fairly deep depressions in places. Presumably this is all done by the wind. At any rate, there is a lot of it, and it is wildly distributed. I imagine it would be quite tiring on the legs to trudge through this stuff for any great distance, but luckily we were saved this trouble by the efforts of the camels. These great hump beasts of burden took to it like ducks to water. They actually seemed more contented than at any time previous. That is, since we set out on our little adventure, I could not comment on their state of mind before we made their acquaintance. I suppose their comfort in this sandy stage of our trek stands to reason, as, at least according to my reading, the desert is the natural milieu of the camel. We seem to be making fairly good time as we trot along, but, of course, in the vast expanse of sand, it was very hard to judge progress. One sand dune looks pretty much like another, at least to the untrained eye, such as my own. Both of them, in point of fact. Other than the fairly intense heat, things seem to be going along swimmingly. That is not too incongruous a descriptor. I was mindful of my recent experience in the intense sunlight, and I did not wish for a repeat of that tumble from my mount, so I was drinking regularly from the wineskin provided by the Macambi, and I made sure that my fur hat was firmly placed on my noggin, thus protecting it from old Sol's fiery rays. The others were also taking precautions. Hobie was wearing a kepi that he had produced from somewhere, in which I must admit he looked quite dashing and Ronald Coleman-ish, or perhaps I mean Gary Cooper-ish. Both Roger and Alvy had Tilly hats, of course, and all of the party, with the exception of the camels, was drinking plenty of fluids. We were even giving Freddie B. little drinks, even though he seemed not at all bothered by the heat. One would think that wearing an all-over-hair coat would not be a wise move in the desert, but he did not appear to mind the conditions at all. I still think, though, that putting the little kerchief on his head was a wise idea, even if it called to mind Monty Python's Gumbies whenever one looked at him. However, that was hardly the strangest thing we were to see in our trip across the great desert.